This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Chicago.
Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Good morning and welcome on in. It's Tyler Rocky and Shay Norling with you till 9 o'clock today. As we got some breaking news late last night up north that Jordan Love, now one of the highest paid quarterbacks, and got a record $75 million signing bonus. And it's just another whiff of football for us, Shay, as we get closer and closer to the season. We're finally back together as well. Good morning to you.
Yeah, it's been a little bit, huh?
I guess we're technically not together. Where are you today? You're up in Michigan again?
Yeah, back home. I got a wedding this weekend.
Back at the lake house, yeah?
That time of season has started. So back for a wedding today. And, the Jordan Love news, I tried to tell people. Nobody wanted to listen to me.
Hey, I listened to you. I want a nice bottle out of it.
No kidding. I kept hearing Sylvie yesterday outraged that there's no nuance in quarterback discussions anymore. I'm like, well, dude, there is no nuance in this. Like, it's if you don't have it, it's the thing with the Tua thing where, like, I kind of thought Miami might let him walk. I didn't think it was the right decision, but I could see him doing it. And then they paid him, what, $53 million yesterday? Mm-hmm. And then Jordan Love makes 55. But the issue is there's, what, 10 quarterbacks that anybody cares about that are any good?
Yeah.
So if you have one of the 10, you better pay them or you're going to spend your life trying to find one of the 10. It is what it is. It's a yes, no question. If you have one, pay them.
Right. And you look at the way that Jordan Love finished last year, and this is excluding the playoffs. This is just the final 8 regular season games, but he was fantastic. And he had some other really good games in there as well. But his final 8 regular season games, he was throwing at a 70% completion rate, an 18-1 touchdown to interception ratio, and averaged almost 270 yards per game. Like, this is one of those guys, and let's not forget, he's doing it with solid receivers. There's no superstar in that receiver room. There's no superstar in that tight end room. I feel like Jordan Love was a big reason why the Packers ultimately got to the playoffs, and it's because he elevates those who are around him. And the way that he played down the stretch in that Dallas game, he nearly took this team to the NFC title game and very well could have ended up in the Super Bowl as well. And let's not forget as well, that defense was not very good for Green Bay last year. It was a poorly coached defense and a lot of players that did not show up to play. So when I look at everything that I saw from Jordan Love, I get it's a small sample size, but this is the price of poker here. And this is a $55 million average per year salary, and he gets a lot of it really quickly with that $75 million signing bonus. I think this was the only move you had to make if you were the Green Bay Packers, because you can't let this drag out any longer.
Yeah, you brought up some good stuff, the receiving core that he had. I mean, Bo Melton was his leading receiver multiple times. Jaden Reed obviously was better than expected. I think he was a third-round pick, but he ended up looking like a first-round talent out of Michigan State. So there's decent receivers, but you're right. There's not a Justin Jefferson or a Tyreek Hill or a Ja'Marr Chase or any of these guys that kind of make it happen.
Where would their top receiver rank in all of football? Like 30?
If it's Jaden Reed, yeah, probably.
It would be Christian Watson, and he would probably.
But he can't stay on the field.
Yeah, it's not Christian Watson, man. He just doesn't play.
I would take Dobbs over Watson.
I would take Watson and Dobbs over anyone else.
I'm with Shay. I would take Jaden Reed number one. I think he's the best of the group. But I think they're all very similar in terms of their skill level. Like, they're all probably slotted between, like, 30 and 38.
None of them are top 20 guys. Right. None of them are like bottom 100 guys.
No. And who knows? Maybe some of them are without a Jordan Love throwing them the football.
Maybe. I mean, that's part of it too. And like, I feel like when you have, everybody talks about like the old adage, when someone tells you who they are, believe them the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly Jordan Love is telling you he's special. Like, unless this is one of the great mirages in NFL history and he just pulled a fast one on everybody who watches this sport, he's a great quarterback. You don't have a season like he just had and then turn to ass. So I don't get concerned about it because he's telling me he's special. Now, I'm going to clown him a little bit for the throw against San Francisco and the Brett Favre brain fart moment, but to get to that point was wildly impressive after the way that the season started. And he played the biggest role, in my opinion, in rescuing it. Matt LaFleur certainly helps him, one of the best play callers in football. Definitely gets the most out of whoever he has back there, but you still got to be a good player. And when you put up the stat line that he put up and you go 18-1 from week 11 to week 18, yeah, it makes me look differently at him. I was somebody who thought he was terrible going into last year. And now I'm sitting here and I thought he deserved every bit of a $55 million a year deal.
Right, and it's the highest right now. I'm sure by the end of the week, Dak will surpass that. And
it'll be 60.
We're just going to repeat this cycle over and over again. Now, this is one of the interesting parts of both his deal and also Tua's deal, is that they're four-year deals as opposed to what we've seen recently, a lot of five-year deals on these extensions. Little surprised that Jordan Love is getting four instead of five. I get it with Tua. And again, I'm with you. I would not have been the one to dish out that sort of deal to Tua, but Jordan Love getting four instead of five. If I'm the Packers, I think I have my guy here. And why not get another year out of him at a cheap level, or what will be, by the time he's up, considered a cheap level deal? Because by the time his contract's up, these quarterback salaries may be in the neighborhood of $75, $80 million.
Well, yeah, you think about Jared Goff when he got paid. He started the offseason, and people are like, what? Jared Goff's the second highest paid player in the NFL. By the end of this offseason, he's going to be sixth or seventh.
Right.
So they got a massive advantage paying him early. The Cowboys are at a massive disadvantage paying Dak late, and everybody's going to try to figure out the creativity in these contracts. One thing I would say about the 4 years for Jordan Love is the Packers definitely believe he's their guy. They just don't want to get burned. Like, what if he is the great mirage and he comes out the next couple years and he just stinks or has a catastrophic injury or whatever it would be, God forbid? Well, then you're looking at, you paid all this money, five-year deal. You probably have some more guarantees in a longer term. You're kind of hurting your future more. Like, I'm looking now, Love gets a $75 million signing bonus and $155 million in new guarantees. That, to me, kind of means, like, is he getting all 220 or is 155 the maximum he can get?
No, I think 155 is the guarantee. I think 75 is chunking out of the 155.
Dude, then what that tells me is there's, like, nothing owed to him in year three and year four, and if he's not good, goodbye. They protected their future with this deal.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think that's going to be something that is going to be a problem for them, because I do think he's one of those guys who is one of the special players in the league, and it's because of the way that he made those around him better. I think that this is, unfortunately for the Bears, I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame, but they've got another good one in a row here for Green Bay. And Jordan Love, I think the continuity as well between Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love is one of the best play caller to quarterback combinations in all of football, might be the best, only behind Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I think it's that special what they have in Green Bay right now.
I'm trying to think of the other pairing that I would take, because like that feels strong. No, LaFleur Love is the best coach quarterback combo outside of,
like, okay, you can go Shanahan and Purdy, but I think Love is much better than Purdy.
I agree.
You can go Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford, maybe. And then Mike McDaniel, too. Like, I'm trying to think of the elite play callers in football right now. But
it feels like so few of them are head coaches. That's shocking. Like, I'm not even saying you're wrong. It's just something.
Goff and Ben Johnson. But
it's crazy to think about.
I think Love's better than Goff.
I don't yet, but I'm getting there.
Lamar and Harbaugh?
Well, he doesn't
Harbaugh's
call the plays.
Harbaugh's the special teams coordinator.
Yeah, I guess,
Potsy.
Now we're just doing ESPN.com head coach quarterback combo. Belichick Brady. Who's best?
I think it's the second best in all football with the way that we saw Love play. And I think Matt LaFleur has shown his stripes as a play caller in this league. I think getting off of the Aaron Rodgers shackles really showed who he can be as a play caller. And I think last year, too, I mean, that first game against the Bears, when Jordan Love was the great unknown, what were we going to see out of him? And he drops 245 and three touchdowns in what's effectively his welcome to the league moment. That, to me, kind of showed me, all right, this kid could be the next one in line.
Yeah, I mean, the whole end of the season was a time where I just kind of had to eat crow. And I'm okay doing that because, look, I kind of thought that he would just suck. And I was celebrating the middle of his season when he did suck. He was terrible. It was like 4 touchdowns to 11 picks at one point. And then the end of the season was just so good. You go into Dallas and you take one of the most annoying fan bases in sports and set them on fire in their own building. Yeah, I'm in. That going on the road and winning a playoff game is so difficult in the NFL, and the quarterbacks that are able to do it. And this is why I buy CJ Stroud. This is why I buy Jordan Love, and why I would do anything I can to make sure that they're going to be my franchise guys forever, because they went on the road and won a playoff game. And I don't think people realize how difficult that is to do, especially at that age or at that experience level. First season as a starter, you're going to Dallas in the playoffs,
yeah,
and you stamp an L on them, and then you leave. Like, that's incredible. That doesn't happen. CJ Stroud going on the road and getting a win in the playoffs, it doesn't happen. Or did he play? He went home. He played at home, so maybe less so. But for still, Jordan Love especially, like, just to win a game in the playoffs, but for Jordan Love especially on the road to do it, is that locks me in. That's one of the guys.
And in the case of CJ Stroud, like, sure, it wasn't a road playoff game, but let's not forget that CJ Stroud,
top defense in Cleveland.
Yes, but the Texans also, there was a lot of conversation of, damn, the Cardinals might have the first overall pick this year because that team's not very good. And they had traded to get Will Anderson, and both of those guys were fantastic. And I just think that, yeah, those are two of the up-and-coming guys in the league. And I look at Stroud and Mahomes, I think that could be the next iteration of what we had with Brady and Manning. I'm that much of a believer in CJ Stroud, more so than Burrow, more so than Lamar. I'm all in. I'm pushing all my chips in on CJ Stroud. I just think he's that good at the quarterback position. And then Jordan Love, I mean, you look at the way that the NFC is shaped up quarterback-wise moving forward. If you were to give the long-term outlook for quarterbacks, he's probably number one.
Yeah, I would. It's hard to argue against. Like, I still love Josh Allen. I still love, you know, I want to keep talking about this after the break, too, because I want to add, I feel a way about Joe Burrow that nobody is, I hear, says.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me if I'm crazy. But I think if we are projecting the future in each conference, like, Jordan Love's at the top of the list. He certainly got the age advantage on Jared Goff, but it's those two, right? Like, it's Love, Goff, Hurts, Dak, and then Caleb.
Well, listen, I know you're not going to like this, but and it's a part of the system, but the system's going to be there. But Brock Purdy is a part of that group too.
I'm telling you, man, the Bill Barnwell report this week that Brock Purdy's projecting the $65 million a year, I can't imagine San Francisco pays him. I think they balk at that number.
I'm with you there. And it's something that I think the Dolphins should have done with Tua as well. I mean, he got his big deal. That kind of got lost in the shuffle yesterday because the Jordan Love news is, I mean, he one-upped him, and it's just going to continue to be that way with quarterbacks. But 312-332-3776, if you want to weigh in on the futures of the quarterbacks in both the AFC and the NFC, because I think we're in a really good era of quarterback play right now, specifically in the AFC, and Shay's got thoughts on Joe Burrow as well and why he's got an opinion that not a lot of people are talking about. So we'll discuss all that when we come back. Tyler and Shay on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago. Back to Tyler Rocky and Shay Norling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Tua gets paid, Love gets paid, and that's just the latest in what's been a wild offseason of quarterback contracts. Don't forget, Jared Goff got his money, Trevor Lawrence got his money, and we'll see Dak Prescott, maybe even by the end of today, who knows. I would certainly guess by the end of the week, we'll see a new contract for Dak Prescott as well, one that probably hovers around $60 million on an annual basis for him, so I'd imagine shorter years as well for Dak, but we were talking about the AFC and NFC, the quarterbacks and the futures of them. I think Jordan Love long-term right now, and again, we haven't seen Caleb Williams play. Caleb very well could go past what Jordan Love has put out there, but you brought up something about Joe Burrow that people are not talking about, Shay.
Yeah, everybody I seem to hear talk about quarterbacks in the preseason or bringing up like who's going to be these top five guys. Every list has to include Joe Burrow, and not like five, not even four. Like it feels like everybody's talking about him in that two or three range. And I want to know if I'm nuts, because I don't think I would start this season with Joe Burrow in my top five.
Who are you putting ahead of him?
Mahomes,
yeah.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Josh Allen still gets in front of him for me.
I take Burrow over Josh Allen.
Josh Allen gets on the field. Like, here, my concern with
Burrow
is... What do
you mean he gets on the field?
Dude, Burrow's 28. He's got two catastrophic injuries.
Yeah, okay, but in both of... Okay, the first, the ACL, he was behind a papier-mâché offensive line, all right? So I'm not gonna get on him for that one. Last year, kind of a fluky play too. Like he's gotten sure
the calf strains are weird. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, last year was the thumb.
No, yeah, but he was also playing hurt to begin mm-hmm. with, and he had the calf strain. So his numbers last year look a little funky too. When you look at when he was playing, they didn't look great. In part because he was playing hurt the entire year, and then the thumb injury derails it.
Okay. So you're taking Allen over Burrow. I'm actually very intrigued by what Josh Allen's season looks like this year.
I think he's going to be really good. I think this is my feeling with Josh Allen is this is going to be the year where like people kind of give up on saying he stinks because he's going to have very little around him. But for me, good quarterbacks are good quarterbacks, and they just play well. And he's not a guy that gets hurt a ton.
But
and if he
infrastructure
does get hurt, he plays through it.
The infrastructure around him has just sort of crumbled. I mean, you think about it. He lost Brian Daboll a couple years ago, and then now he's going to lose some of his receivers. I think the Bills are looking at the end of their window. I really do. I don't think they're going to win the division this year. I think we're looking at the end of the Bills' window, and it's gonna be the hardship of trying to build around a quarterback. Let's see how creative they get.
Yeah, I think it gets more difficult once you have that salary cap commitment. I just also think if you have a quarterback that good, your window's never really closed, at least for making the playoffs. They went out and got Keon Coleman. It's not mm-hmm. like they're totally bereft. I'd have Mahomes ahead of Burrow. I would have Josh Allen ahead of Burrow. We can fight on that. I have questions about Lamar's ability in the playoffs, but after last year, I'd have Lamar ahead of Burrow entering the season right now. I would have C.J. Stroud ahead of Burrow entering the season right now.
And there's your four.
Mm-hmm. I got to find one guy out of the AFC, out of the NFC. Can I sell you on Jordan Love or Jared Goff being there right now?
I wouldn't take either of them ahead of Burrow right now.
What? What if, like, besides getting to the Super Bowl, what has Burrow done that those guys haven't?
Besides getting to the Super Bowl, I mean, that's a pretty bold, like, oh, let's just brush that to the side here.
Yeah, but it also, if you remember that playoff run, it's not like Burrow was lighting the world on fire. They couldn't score points the whole run.
Their defense was terrific, but he did make some big plays. He had the comeback against Kansas City. Like, I still take Joe Burrow. And look at his numbers, too, over the two seasons he was healthy. You're talking about if you split between the two of them, you're averaging 4,500 yards. And
he's good.
Basically identical TD to interception ratios, 34-14, 35-12.
He's good, but I have genuine concerns when you have a guy that's had two lower body injuries in his first four seasons, missed parts of last year with the thumb, probably a total fluke. I don't want to say he's made of glass, but the idea that he's just going to come out and still be this incredible quarterback, like basically 2019 LSU Joe Burrow, I have questions about that. I don't think I'm out of my mind for saying I need to see it again before I start just blindly placing him inside the top five.
That's fair.
Over guys who had excellent seasons.
You can say, like, that's fair. You need to see it again from Burrow. That's fine. But you need to see it again from Stroud. You need to see it again from Love, who you're thinking about throwing into this top five. You need to see it again from those guys, too.
I just believe it a little more. I don't know if that – maybe I am crazy for saying I believe more in – a rookie quarterback in Stroud, and I believe more in Jordan Love and the end of last season than I do in Joe Burrow's return. But it's just what I've seen of Joe Burrow lately. Like, the last two seasons didn't end on great notes. And for the other guys, they did. And maybe that's recency bias, and maybe that's prisoner of the moment, but it's not like Burrow's got some lengthy 10-year workload that I can look at and go, he's a proven guy, going to be top three. Just feels like everybody's given that to him because they wanted to. Like, number one pick in the draft, won the Heisman, one of the greatest seasons in the history of college football at LSU in 2019, comes into the NFL. First year gets derailed by the ACL, but year two, all of a sudden he's taking the god-awful Bengals to the Super Bowl, and you go, he's arrived. He's top three, top two. It's him and Mahomes. I've just never felt that way. I think he's really, really good. Like top seven, top eight for sure. But I've always wondered how Joe Burrow, just because he got to the Super Bowl, got placed as the second best quarterback in football. Like, nobody did that with Jalen Hurts. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm not saying you should have, because I certainly wouldn't. But Nick Sirianni and the Eagles get Hurts to the playoffs. I don't remember people unquestionably putting him number two. He had a fantastic year that year.
He did, but I think you could also see that everything built around him was better than what Burrow had. Like, Burrow took a Cincinnati team that was thought to be one of the bottom-rung teams in the NFL. He took them to the Super Bowl. Jalen, no one was mistaking the Philadelphia Eagles for the Cleveland Browns of old. Like,
that's true, but
that
also
Eagles
nobody
team was
ever
built
would
to win.
Yeah, but nobody ever, like, if you look at the Eagles and the Bengals historically, nobody ever would compare the two franchises. One of them actually tries to win, which is why I think it was so surprising. So, like, the Burrow narrative, is it generated from Bengals bad, Joe Burrow good? So
no, you know what it's
great,
from. Here's what it's from.
Or is it just winning without an offensive line?
It's the charisma of it. That's what it is with Joe Burrow.
It's because he's cool.
It's because everything he does is cool. Like, remember he had that one, it was a warm-up throw, but like he 360'd it and the internet lost its mind.
Yeah.
That's the Joe Burrow, like Joe Cool, right? Like that's what he is. And I just think with Burrow, I also like the long-term outlook with him because I think he's got a receiver who's always going to be by his side.
Jamar Chase is never leaving him. Jamar Chase won't say Patrick Mahomes' name because right. He has to stick up so much for Joe Burrow. And I think when you've got guys that play together and went to college together, it's easier to have that, like Jamar and Burrow. Or do you think Devontae Smith will leave Jalen Hurts at some point?
No, because I think that the Eagles would move off of A.J. Brown before they would move off of Devontae Smith.
So that is interesting, too, like Jamar Chase and just Joe Burrow being this.
Jalen Waddle and Tua.
Lengthy connection. Well, I kind of feel like, where are you at with, I know we talked about it a little bit, but just projecting forward instead of reacting to the contract. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with Tua? Because,
dude, I think I told you this. I think that Tua and like the Cowboys and the Dolphins should have tried to work something out to flip the quarterbacks.
Really?
Because I think Dak...
I don't know if you have told me that.
Have I not told you that? Okay, I think I said it maybe 2 weeks ago or something. But I think that they should have tried to work something out to flip the quarterbacks there.
It almost makes more sense timeline-wise. Dallas can get young, but they'd still be paying them. Like, that's...
But if you think about the
kind of similar,
think about the timeline of what the Dolphins are as well. Like, how many more years does Tyreek have at this level? Like, guys who are one of their best attributes is speed. Like, who knows how much longer Tyreek has playing at that level? And the Dolphins, like, let's be honest, they probably want to get to the next guy. Like, they want to have a guy in place that they're comfortable enough with. And then they want to probably, like, Mike McDaniel's looking for the next guy.
Who is the next guy, though?
Like that next guy is probably in a freshman in college right now, or maybe even a senior in high school right now.
That's a scary place to be, though, and that's why you pay Tua what you pay him, because if you don't have that guy and you're looking for the next one, you could be doing that for an eternity. It could be five head coaches getting a shot at looking for the next guy before you find him. I think Tua is really good. I think Tua is, like, I would probably rather have Tua than Dak.
Good rat. No.
If you can tell me that Tua is not going to die on the field, I think I'd rather have Tua than Dak. The biggest concern for me with him is just how many times he's been concussed and the idea that he can stay healthy.
My thing with Tua is, like, we're really going to do the 40-yard curl routes all season? Like, and like, what does it look like when you don't have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle? And I know that's a tough hypothetical to throw out there but what happens if one of them gets dinged up? What happens if they miss games? Like, what is Tua going to look like? And then, God forbid, the weather gets into the 50s, what does he look like? Because he ain't the same.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's also, like, he plays in Miami. As long as they can play home playoff games, they'll be fine.
But you have to get there in the AFC, and it's tough to get there in the AFC with all, like, think about all the quarterbacks.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's also, like, four seasons, and we're writing his death notice. I feel like he's been really good, and I'm not telling you he's top 10 with a bullet. I'm not going to, like, put any type of ranking on him. I just feel like Tua's a very good quarterback that you can win with.
You can win, but everything has to be right around him. And right now, everything around him is right. He's got a good play caller. He's got good weapons. What happens when things aren't right?
Well, we'll find out, I'm sure, at some point.
I think, like, we have found out at times with Tua what it looks like when things aren't right.
Yeah, sure, but I still feel like he gets kind of a bad rap. There's guys around this league I feel like get a very iffy kind of conversation around them. Dak, I think, is another one. A guy I think is very good, but I'm also happy to clown when he loses in the playoffs. Because it's so expected. Like, Dak's going to turn the ball over a couple times in a playoff game. The Cowboys are going to lose in hilarious fashion. It's just, there are so many quarterbacks around this league that have played very little time, and everybody's ready to write them off. And Tua seems to be the guy right now that everybody's ready to say stinks. Miami should have moved on. Obviously they didn't. Trevor Lawrence is kind of the opposite for me, where I wonder why he ducks all that smoke, because he has basically, like, look, you beat the Chargers in the playoffs. Congrats. Brandon Staley forgot Justin Herbert was on his team. But if you look at the numbers over the last few seasons, he's pretty much Justin Fields. Why is he not getting any of the smoke?
Well, he's not Justin Fields. He's got 4,000-yard passing seasons.
Dude, the turnovers are a mega problem.
Okay, he's got one similarity to him.
The passing yards, sure, but total, like, scrimmage yardage, because he doesn't run as much. But the fumbles in the backfield, the sack taking.
Did you see the little drill they were doing the other day and he fumbled?
Yes.
They're somersaulting into, like, gymnastics pads.
This is my whole point. How is this guy ducking the smoke? He fumbles like a madman. He takes a ton of sacks. I'm not telling you he sits behind the best offensive line, but sacks are a quarterback stat for me. He throws a ton of interceptions. Where is the smoke for Trevor Lawrence? Everybody wants to hit Dak with a golf cart. Everybody wants to write to his death notice. Nobody wants to smoke out Trevor Lawrence.
I think it's I think Trevor Lawrence, nobody is riding the college coattails harder than Trevor Lawrence, more so than Burrow. Because, like, Burrow's shown it. He's gotten to a Super Bowl. Trevor Lawrence has the comeback playoff win against the Chargers, but I think he's still riding the college coattails in the pedigree. And I still think Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. Is he going to end up with the generational expectations? I don't think so, but I still think he's going to end up being one of those guys who, for the bulk of his career, we're going to be talking about in a top 10, top 7 lens.
That's probably true. And I think the college thing is interesting, like riding off the generational tag, because then it brings me back to questioning Tua and why we talk about him the way we talk about him. It really is just a hip injury, isn't it? If his hip never gets hurt at Bama, he would be the tank for Tua guy that came in and rescued the national championship in his freshman season, and nobody would have any slander for him. It's really just that hip injury.
Well, I think there are people that
are... And the concussions.
Yeah, people are underwhelmed with some of his production, too. And some of the things he does on the field that make you scratch your head at times. There still is some of that.
And his arm strength stinks. I mean, nobody can deny the 40-yard curl routes that are basically underthrown goes. Yeah.
All right, 312-332-3776 if you want to continue to talk quarterbacks. Let's also touch on some stuff that's happening at Bears camp as well. And I have been home probably a grand total of 20 hours, and I think 10 of them have been spent playing college football 25. So we'll get into the college football swing of things as well, because before you know it, Shay, the college football season is going to be here, and I believe next week we're going to have some college football podcasts for everyone as well. So we'll do all that when we come back. This is Tyler and Shay here on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay. I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
To the Bears in just a second here. First, Ray is in Evanston. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Tyler. Hey, Shay. How you guys doing this morning?
What's going on?
This is a pot of coffee, pitcher of beer debate conversation that I've been having with a buddy of mine. You guys are talking about this with the whole quarterbacks and the salary. So I just ask that you guys hear me out, and I'd love to hear your take. So I understand quarterbacks the hardest position to play in all the sports. They deserve to get their money, those players. I'm not saying they shouldn't. However, this has been going on now for 5 years, 6 years, where they're getting a little ridiculous because you're the next quarterback up for a contract, you're now being the most paid. And you're really, you know, teams, like you say, what else are they going to do if they don't pay Tua? What else are they going to do if they don't pay Dak? But are these guys really, really the best of what they do? They're not, right? They're not better than a Mahomes or, like, let's just say a Stroud, someone you really want to invest in. So aside from those like unicorn type of players that really, really deserve that top money, what do you guys think about a team at some point pivoting and changing their culture and saying, you know what, every year we're going to draft a quarterback legitimately first or second round. We're going to let them play. And when they become that contract year, unless we feel they're super special, we'll let them walk, and we have the next guys in line that we're developing, and we're going to trust our system and just go that route. Because when you keep paying $60 million, $55 million, as you said, it's crippling your salary cap. And when these guys, or if these guys get hurt, now what are you doing, right? Look at Aaron Rodgers last year with the Jets, just for example. And again, I'm not saying that's the right thing, but I feel like that is something that maybe a GM out there or teams like, this is what we're going to pivot. They changed the whole running back game, right? Running backs aren't worth as much, you know, money-wise, because they're just drafting people and using them by committee. If you got a good development system in place and you trust your drafting and your coaches, have a guy like, I'm just saying, a Jordan Love. He gets the contract. Well, you did it for 1 year. You want $55 million? You're good, but we're going to walk because we trust the other guys we have. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ray.
I don't hate the idea, but it's just never going to happen. And I think people kind of look at things the wrong way with the quarterback deals because, like Tyler, we talked about it a little bit earlier, is, yeah, you're taking up a massive percentage of the salary cap right now. But with the league taking on all this streaming money and all these dollars, all this extra revenue that I hate, but regardless – league's getting more money, league's becoming more profitable. You just had the biggest salary cap increase in league history. The cap, barring the Sunday ticket thing being way worse than reported, is not going down. It's just going to continue to grow.
But it's probably not going to accelerate as fast as we thought it would.
Maybe not, and it probably won't spike 15% like it did this year, next year, but it might spike 8, and then the year after it might spike 10, and then by the time you're 3 years down the road, all the guys that got paid this offseason will be on discounts. So we can react to it now and go, well, you're getting paid way too much money, and you're making it impossible on the cap. But like in 2-3 years, Jared Goff's going to be playing at a discount.
Yes, but then we also see the instances where these guys want to restructure their deals and get more upfront money, and teams don't love that either. My whole thing with that is with what Ray was saying in his premise, good luck finding an owner that is patient enough with the GM, because that is a recipe to get fired, and good luck finding a fan base that's okay with that. Like, think about what's happening in San Francisco right now. Could San Francisco move on from Brock Purdy and be probably just as good? Absolutely. But if you do move on and you do find the wrong guy, then you're in a heap of trouble. And that is how GMs get fired. And I don't think a general manager would ever put their job on the line like that. And I don't think an owner would ever be patient enough with a GM to do something like that.
Yeah, if you made a decision to move on from your franchise quarterback to look for somebody new. Now, there are like exceptions, because you can draft a guy late in the first round and see what you got, but you're still going to have to pay that you're still going to have to pay the second contract for that player. So it doesn't really change a whole lot. I don't know that there's really that big of a problem. And if you want somebody to be mad at, just be mad at the New York Giants for paying Daniel Jones $40 million a year when he stunk. Like, yeah. That is what kind of bent this market out of shape. But again, Matthew Stafford reset it twice without ever being the best quarterback in the sport. Kirk Cousins reset it twice without ever being the best quarterback in the sport. It's just, that's the nature of the position. And if Tom Brady had been a little more selfish, he would have reset it multiple times also.
Same with Mahomes. If Mahomes was a little more selfish, the same thing would be happening.
Look, and if you don't think a Mahomes restructure to get him a little closer to the top is coming, you're out of your mind. Like that, he is going to restructure his deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is going to get more money. He is going to get positioned closer to the top. He'll just also leave the Chiefs some room for flexibility.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. Andrew's in Bartlett. What's up, Andrew?
What's up, boys? Love the show. Great points. I got some Packers buddies, and I end up going to a few games with them and stuff every year, and all that. And we have a group chat stuff. They were like super excited, like head over heels, about the Jordan Love thing yesterday. And I was just like, "What are you guys all excited about? Like, it was inevitable. He was going to be on your team. It's amazing. I'm happy for the Bears, and as a Bears fan, like, it's great that they're made him the highest paid player of all time. And I know it's next week it's going to change. It'll be someone else. But that's awesome. I mean, he was going to be on the team regardless, so it's not like he was going to walk. They're going to be in trouble now with the cap. I mean, they draft well, so that's good for them. But I mean, they're not going to go out and be able to sign some huge playmaking, difference making receiver. Bears fans should be super pumped about that.
Well, Andrew, thanks for the call, but I totally disagree. Like, think about that roster right now and how young it is.
Yep.
The receiving room. No one last year that caught a pass had tenure over 2 years in the NFL. You're working with a lot of rookie deals up there in Green Bay, and a lot of them are going very well so far. And I think that because of the nature of how the cap situation is in Green Bay, this Jordan Love deal is going to be a real sweetheart of a deal, especially when we're looking at it in 2-3 years.
Yeah, I was trying to think about, like, I remember a couple years ago, their defense was wildly expensive and old, and they were in a really bad kind of spot in the cap. I feel like right now they're not. Like, they just got off David Bakhtiari, drafted an offensive tackle. They're going to play at left tackle this season, Jordan Morgan. The receivers all are cheap. Like, it felt like the time, right? You locked up Jordan Love. You locked up Kenny Clark. The core of your roster is secure. I don't, if I'm a Bears fan, I don't feel great that Green Bay found a quarterback they're happy to pay $55 million a year. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Ooh, they're in cap hell now, but
they're not.
All that means is they feel like they have a franchise quarterback.
And guess what? They may feel like, you know what? We don't need to pay our receivers this super max type of money because we can just draft guys. They'll come in. We've seen Jordan Love make Bo Melton into a name and elevate guys like Romeo Doubs and Jordan Reed or Jaden Reed and Christian Watt. Like, we've seen that. We've seen him make something out of nothing or make something out of mediocre.
How about what Luke Musgrave looked like at times this year?
They've got another tight end, too, that's pretty solid as well. So I think Jordan Love makes the weapons in Green Bay, and when you've got a quarterback like that, you can do what the Chiefs do. You're okay letting a Tyreek Hill go. You're fine with it because you can find other ways to win because of the guy that you have under center. So,
yeah, agree.
312-332-3776. We'll hit on a little bit of Bears and college football coming up next.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay. I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thanks to Potsy, Justin Pottinger, and also Matt McMaster as well. Welcome aboard, Matt. Good to have you here.
Thanks
as
for
well.
Having me. Appreciate it.
Shay, we have some Bears and some college football to speed through here. First of all, anything that you've seen from training camp, notes, stuff you've seen on social about the reports that has you feeling some type of way about the Bears this year?
Yeah, the Caleb highlights. Like, I know people keep saying it.
Oh, you took a sledgehammer to the knee, didn't you?
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Yeah, I had a good time with that one. That was fun for me. I mean, I see Caleb Williams moving full speed to his left and delivers a strike down the sideline, and he's, like, right on the sideline when he releases the football. It does, like, it just looks a little different. The bombs down the field, the Tyler Scott footage we're getting of those, ball placement back of the end zone, putting it right on a spot where, look, that it can't be anywhere else. It just looks a little different, man, and I'm really excited about it. And I know there are reports in 11-on-11 that Caleb doesn't look that great, but just keep in mind, like, Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron talk to each other, and they have the ability to make Caleb look bad, just as they have the ability to make him look good in the way that they scheme things up and call plays.
Yeah, that's fair. You brought up Tyler Scott's name there, and I'm intrigued what kind of season he's going to have for the Bears, because it feels like every single time we're seeing a deep ball clip on social media, it's him. And that's something that, now he did show some of this in last year's training camp as well, and then when the lights were on, he didn't deliver. But I want to see what he's got in the tank this year, because we know there's going to be games where either Aroma Dunze or Keenan Allen or DJ Moore are down, specifically Keenan Allen. And what does he look like as the third receiver on the team? What does he look like as the fourth receiver on the team?
I think that's going to be way more important than people have talked about, because Keenan Allen is going to miss games. That's a guarantee. And the idea that DJ Moore and Roma Dunze are simply going to play 17 while Keenan Allen probably plays closer to 12 or 13, sure, it can happen.
It's the NFL.
But you can't bank on it. So having a guy like Tyler Scott be there and be good is really important.
Real quick, let's squeeze in Anthony and Cicero here. He wants to talk some Bears. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Good. What's going on?
Nothing. Hey, so, you know, I've been hearing a lot of talk about, you know, the Bears this year. Oh, they look different. They look different. I've been a Bears fan for almost 25 years now. And, you know, it's definitely nice to hear that, oh, hey, Caleb's having a day. The offense is actually doing good. The offense is doing good. But I just, you know, I've heard this so much over the last, like, 20-something years. Like, I think everyone just, you know, we've got to pump the brakes a little bit. He still is a rookie. You know, I was listening to Cap and Jay Hood the other day, and Cap is like, oh, if he doesn't get 4,000 yards and 26 touchdowns, he's a disappointment. I'm like,
yeah, well, what? He's ridiculous, that man. You can't get him to say anything.
He does. Makes he gets sense. A little out of control sometimes. And I'm just like, come on, man. I'm like, if the kid gets 3,600 yards, like 25 touchdowns, 12 picks, that'll be, for a Bears quarterback, unbelievable. I would be so happy with that. You know, I love all the new toys. I love how we're looking. But I just, for me, I got to wait till at least week six to see how we're looking. Because I've gotten so hyped over the years. And then every season, every Sunday, man, I'm just like, I got my head down. I'm like depressed. So I just, you know, I got to hold off. But I really like how they're looking. I've seen some training camp videos. You know, the kid looks sharp. He's getting the ball out quick. I haven't seen that in a minute. So let's just, you know, let's cross our fingers and hope we can get it done this year. And also, FGB.
Thanks, Anthony. Appreciate it. Teaching us a little bit of the alphabet as well.
Anthony, nobody's telling you you got to buy in and drink the Kool-Aid. You can do what you want to do. Like, if you need to be kind of a slow-and-go guy with this team, then that's fine. I get it. You've earned the right to do that, and they haven't earned the right to have your benefit of the doubt. I just think you're going to be really, really good.
Yeah, so. I think so, too. And I think that Caleb hovers around those numbers that were projected for him. I think he's more likely to go over some of those numbers than under some of those numbers as well with the yards and the touchdowns, just because, and it's not a Caleb thing. It's a what's around you thing for me. The situation he's being thrown into, he's going to be the starter from day one. Barring injury, I think that's a pretty good bar to set with the it was about 3,700 yards and 26 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good bar for him.
Yep.
To set for himself. Absolutely. This year. All right, real quick, college football stuff this year. We're going to have some podcasts starting next week where we kind of go through everything in the sport, getting you ready. We'll roll out some of these. We're going to do it a little different this year, though. We're going to do, I think, more of a gambling angle as well, because we had some fun. We had some good picks last year as well, and some good thoughts behind a lot of stuff. So we'll do a lot of that again this year. But how have you been enjoying your Appalachian State adventure?
Well, I won the national title, and then I gave up. I decided I kept getting horrible job offers for some reason. And I was really tired of it because I wanted to get out of Boone eventually. Mm-hmm. And so I started a new one where I'm the offensive coordinator at Eastern Michigan, and I want to get to an Alabama-level job in 10 years. I'm doing the Kalen DeBoer route. That's the goal. Dude, the game's awesome, and I'm happy that it's in our hands because it's letting me enjoy college football, which is a sport that I think is dying and I've been less excited for this year than ever. But it is what it is. The game rocks.
The game is awesome. I've been home in my apartment for maybe 20 hours since I've gotten back from vacation, and I have spent at least 10 playing. I'm that, like, the boys and I, we just got back from the Big Island after a Hawaii Bowl win. we're rolling. We're feeling good right now. It was rough in the beginning. 2-6, won our final four, and then,
oh, look at that. Just
and then
qualify.
And then beat Oregon State, and we didn't get in on APR.
What school are you?
Utah State.
Oh, the Aggies. Good for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So the boys were back from the Big Island, and we're revving up for year two.
Hawaii Bowl, sneaky great bowl. You have a kind of bad season, and your gift is a trip to Hawaii. That's a win.
I've told my sentimental story about this radio station before, but the Hawaii Bowl forever holds a good spot in my heart, because every single Christmas Eve, I used to listen when I could not sleep, waiting for Santa to put those presents under the tree. Every single Christmas Eve, I would listen to the Hawaii Bowl on ESPN Radio, and it would, like, be my lullaby to sleep. I would listen to the game to try to help me get to sleep.
So. A young Tyler Aki listening to 2 6-win teams duke it out on the Big Island.
Yep. All right, the CDGA Golf Show is coming up next. We'll talk to you next week.
This is Tyler and Shay. Tyler and Shay.